Brethren and Sisters, Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, January 29, 1905. Dear Brethren and Sisters, I am always glad to hear of the prosperity and success of the Wurunga Sanitarium. Will our churches in every place arise and shine? Will they, for the sake of Him who suffered and died to redeem the world, feel the necessity of denying self? Will they show their willingness to share with Christ in His self-denial and sacrifice? I ask you to study carefully and prayerfully the first chapter of Revelation. 1 John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Verses 9-20. Let not those who are ministering in word and doctrine be dull of understanding now. The world is being flooded with books and magazines which contain that which will lead the mind astray. I would say to God's people, for Christ's sake, do not spend your time in reading that which is a hindrance to spiritual growth. Remember that, spiritually, men and women are built up from the food which they give the mind. The Bible contains the bread sent down from heaven. Read the sixth chapter of John and ask God to give you clearness of understanding, that you may comprehend the important statements that it contains. There is a work to be done in the place where the truth has never been proclaimed. In order to do this work, you need greater than human help. The Lord can take a worm to thrash a mountain. It is close communion with God that qualifies His messengers to subdue the opposition of the enemy. God calls for consecrated workers who will be true to Him, humble men who see the need of evangelistic work and do not draw back, but do each day's work faithfully, relying upon God for help and strength in every emergency. The message is to be taken up by those who love and fear God. Lay not your burden upon any conference. Go forth and, as evangelists, in a humble way, present, Thus saith the Scriptures. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. As Christ taught, all classes of people flocked about him. Mark the interest shown by these eager, astonished listeners. Priests and rulers listen to him as he proclaims the gospel message. He does not present pleasing fables, but the truth of heaven. He points to the great gift of eternal life as the highest object of attainment. He presents the science of salvation as something that will not have to be left behind by those who are called to enter the higher school. The sick came to him to be healed, and he healed them. Thus many were led to believe on him.
Today the truth is to be proclaimed, as Christ proclaimed it when he was on this earth. Our people, who are so collected together at large centers, should be out in the field, working for souls. They should go to places where the truth has not yet been heard, and pray, and plan, and work, and gain an experience by practical work. Is not Christ in our world today as verily as he was then? Can he not heal the sick as well now as then? Let small sanitariums and treatment rooms be established, and let people be given an education in the simple methods of treating disease. Those who take up this work will increase in capability, for unseen heavenly agencies will be present to help them. Lo, I am with you always, Christ declares, even unto the end of the world. Verse 20. Is not this, then, the work that is to be undertaken in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth? Disease can be cured if right methods are employed. We are now to move forward in earnest, heeding the words of Christ, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Verse 20. Our highest aim is to be to heed and obey the teachings of the one who gave his life for the world. Far-fetched suppositions are not needed. There is to be no lording it over God's heritage, as there has been in the past. Those who are burdened with the desire to proclaim the message are not to be bound about. They are not to be required to place themselves under the control of any man's ideas or plans. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. James 1, verse 5 to 7.